Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for today's Healthline. I'm Courtney Butts, and Healthline 3 is where we like to focus on ways to live a healthier, happier, and pain-free life. We'll be taking your calls and answering your questions live in the studio today. We'll be opening the phone lines shortly, but as a reminder, please make sure you are in a quiet room when you call with your TV turned all the way down so that we can hear your question. Our number is 318-219-4569, and today's topic is shoulder pain and rotator cuff tear and repair. And joining me today to talk about this subject is Dr. John Mays from Willis-Knighton Bossier Orthopedics. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Courtney.
Well, this is a topic that you are very well versed in, right? And
yes.
Lots of people do sports, like golf, as you mentioned earlier, may have a need for rotator cuff repair.
Yes, shoulder pain is extremely common. Probably about 1/3 of the patients I see each week come in with shoulder pain. And typically affects older individuals, like my age. Typically 50s and 60s are where you see most shoulder pain, especially rotator cuff problems. Most people, when they come in, they've had the shoulder pain for months, maybe even 6 months before they went to the doctor. So it's always good to get the information out there, what you should do if you start to develop shoulder pain.
Right, yeah, and maybe what are some of the signs? Obviously pain in the shoulder,
right.
But...
Yeah, most people complain initially when they're in bed at night. Now, obviously during the day, you're doing things, you're thinking about other things, but when you get into bed at night and you roll over on your shoulder and it hurts, that's when you really, most people first notice it. Or if they put their arm under their pillow and it causes pain, that's the first indication. You know, sometimes trying to reach the top shelf or reach behind your back in the back seat of your car is a painful thing. In fact, right now I have right shoulder impingement and I've had it for about a month and I'm working through it myself.
Okay.
So it's extremely common.
Okay. And are there some exercises that you can do to help, obviously, help the pain, but maybe prevent it from becoming worse?
Absolutely. That is the first line of treatment for shoulder pain and rotator cuff problems. A lot of people, the shoulder gets painful and they think, uh-oh, I've done too much. I need to stop everything and just rest my shoulder. That is the exact wrong thing to do. You do not want to do that. That is the worst possible thing you can do for your shoulder, because then it's going to get stiffer and it's going to get weaker. Actually, what you need to do is you need to start working on your range of motion and stretching and doing a exercise program to regain your strength. Now, that's not lifting a refrigerator, bench pressing 500 pounds. That is using like the TheraBands, rubber bands, or you know, a water bottle, anything to gradually regain your motion and strength. Even if you do have a rotator cuff tear, it's still very beneficial to maintain your motion and strength, even if it's painful.
Right. Yeah.
So even if it hurts, you're probably doing it right.
Okay. Well, that's some good advice, because it seems a little counterintuitive, right?
It is. It's very counterintuitive. You know, when things hurt, most people stop doing things. But in this situation, you're going to do more damage than good.
Right.
So typically when we see somebody with that, we're going to try to help their pain and encourage them to continue a stretching and exercise program. So we have a lot of tools that can help pain, but the quickest and easiest is an injection into the shoulder. I know that sounds scary, and when we say injection, people might freak out a little bit, but it's literally a 2 second shot. Pretty much everybody after the shot, they go, "Oh, that was easy." I go, "That's what I told you, you know," and that's why, but people just have a phobia about needles, but the shot itself is super easy. Typically an injection for rotator cuff injury, impingement, can make the pain go away for up to a month.
Wow.
So that buys you a month to do the exercises and stretches that you need to do to get it well. So that's going to be our first line of treatment 99% of the time.
Right. And then if it's pretty severe, you're looking at surgery.
You know, if they come back a couple of weeks or 4 weeks later and they say, you know, the shot didn't work or it wore off very quickly, I've been doing the exercises, I'm making no headway, at that point the next step would be to get usually an MRI. advanced imaging. We probably already got an x-ray when their initial visit, mm-hmm. and initial x-rays only show bones, so the rotator cuff is a tendon. It's not going to show up on the x-ray at all. So typically the x-ray is normal, and an MRI is not cheap, and it takes a lot, kind of all day to get it done. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to order it right off the bat. You know, we're usually going to try some simple things first, like an injection or some anti-inflammatory medicine, some exercises either on their own or in conjunction with a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm. So with rotator cuff or shoulder pain, what kind of causes this? Is it a chronic thing? It happens over time? Inactivity or muscle loss? Are those things that may cause this pain?
Well, there's always been a lot of controversy about it, and there's been a lot of research that's come out the last few years, and some of the things are counterintuitive. Number one counterintuitive thing is people come in all the time and they say, I've used my shoulder too much, I've torn my rotator cuff. Mm. That's actually the opposite of it. You know, the more you use your shoulder, the more you exercise your shoulder, the less likely you are to injure your rotator cuff. Now, so if you haven't left your lazy boy in a month, and you go out this spring and you go water skiing one day,
right.
Yes, you can tear your rotator cuff. I tell people that's the weekend warrior syndrome. You know, like the NFL, you don't rest all week and go mm-hmm. play in the game on Sunday. Right. You have to work out and prepare for your activities. So if you're playing golf or you're playing tennis or you're whatever you're doing, you need to be prepared to do that. So rotator cuff injuries typically occur in people that are out of shape and weak, and then they overdo it. Mm-hmm. It could be lifting a refrigerator or a fall. A fall is probably the most common cause of these. Because when you fall, you try to catch yourself, mm-hmm. and that's when the muscle is overloading. Because like I say, the rotator cuff, the muscles around your shoulder blade turn into a cuff of tendon. It's four muscles combined into one tendon, and then it attaches to your humerus. It's called a rotator cuff because hundreds of years ago, when they were first dissecting people and look at it, they felt that it looked like the cuff of a shirt mm-hmm. laying over the upper arm.
Makes sense.
People usually call it a rotator cuff or a rotary cuff. You know, I get all kind of names for this.
Yeah, right.
But it's a rotator cuff. So usually it's not being prepared, so it's older people in their 50s and 60s, because that's when we start to lose our muscle, mm-hmm. lose some of our strength. The other thing that is counterintuitive is it's very genetic. Mm. It runs in families. You inherit rotator cuff pathology from your parents, more so than even arthritis. So I see whole families where everybody in the family has a rotator cuff injury or tear. And if you get it in one shoulder, there's an over 50% chance you'll have a similar injury in the opposite shoulder.
Wow. Yeah, so since it's genetic, you know, we can't change our genetics, but is there benefits to maybe doing strength training at 50s and 60s to prevent, or even before that, obviously?
Absolutely. You know, I know you're a nutritionist, and that is just like nutrition and exercise. The older we get, the more important it is. I mean, if you're lazy and lay around when you're 20 or 30, you can get away with that. But when you're 50 and 60, that's when you start to get diabetes, heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, and all of those things, and rotator cuff tears, arthritis, all of those things are preventable in most mm-hmm. cases by nutrition and exercise.
Yeah.
And those are things, you know, we get one flesh vessel. We need to take care of it.
Right.
You know, I tell people, if your dad gave you one car when you turned 16 and told you, this is the only car you're ever going to get, so you would take really good care of it, mm-hmm. but it's shocking how little people care for their one body they're going to get.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point there. Yeah. So with shoulder pain, when should people worry, or when should people come to you? Should they come to you, or should they come to their primary care physician and then be referred to an orthopedic surgeon or doctor?
You know, either way, some of the primary cares are a little more generalist. You know, they might give them some anti-inflammatory medicine, even refer them to physical therapy. Some of the old school ones will even give them an injection in there, and that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But, you know, we see people all the time. You don't necessarily need a referral from your primary physician if you want to come see us. But probably you don't want to go the first day it hurts, obviously. You probably want to give it a week or two, trying some exercise and stretches yourself, taking some over-the-counter medications.
Like ibuprofen?
Right. Ibuprofen or Aleve are going to be the first line medications for this. So Aleve is naproxen, a little newer version of ibuprofen. It's twice a day instead of three times a day. Other than that, they're very similar. Tylenol is going to be the safest. If you have a history of reflux or ulcers, or you're taking a whole bunch of medicines and you're not sure what combines with it, Tylenol is going to be your safe bet. Now, if you're having a really bad day, you can combine ibuprofen and Tylenol together. They work fine together.
Yeah. Okay. And then if it's still persisting,
if it still persists, you've done your stretches and exercises, you've taken your ibuprofen and your Tylenol, and it's been a week or so, probably time to go see a doctor. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to give you a shot and give you some exercises, and that's probably going to fix you up.
Right.
But occasionally that doesn't work. You know, if you start to have weakness, if you get to the point where you literally cannot lift your arm, or if you try to pick a gallon jug of milk out of the refrigerator and you have to help it with your other hand, that's an indication that you might have a significant rotator cuff tear. Because it's usually not just pain, it's usually in conjunction with weakness.
Gotcha. So a rotator cuff tear is when you're considering the surgery route.
Right. Usually? The vast majority of people that we do surgery on are going to have a tear. Now, it's kind of misleading, because if you did MRIs on every 70-year-old in the United States with or without shoulder pain, over 50% of them have a tear and don't know it. So a tear itself is not necessarily bad, because tons of people have tears. They do fine. They do everything they want to do. Doesn't hurt them. But when you have a tear that's painful and it's getting progressively worse, and you failed conservative treatment, that's when surgery becomes an option. So be aware, you don't want to just, oh, my shoulder's been hurting for 2 weeks. You go see your doctor and he says, let's get an MRI. That's not really right. That's not something that I would advocate doing, because it's an expensive test. You don't even know if you're going to get well without the MRI. So typically that's something we save till later.
Yeah. So when you're performing the surgery, so tell me a little bit about the surgery process.
The surgery, the exciting part that very few people have to get, but typically, you know, there's been a lot of changes. I've been doing this for over 20 years. When I first got out, we did rotator cuff repairs open. So we made an incision, we split the tissue and went down and sewed it back together. That's pretty much completely changed. I haven't done an open rotator cuff repair in probably 10 years. So it's all done arthroscopically now. And what that is, it's done with a small fiber optic camera, which is smaller than a pencil. And we make typically three holes, one in the back, one in the side, one in the front. And we put the camera in the shoulder, photograph everything, look at everything. And from the other portals, we can repair pretty much 99% of rotator cuff tears. Now, there are people that let it go too long. It's too far gone to repair. Now, if it gets too bad and the arthritis is set in and you can't fix the rotator cuff, that's when there's another procedure called a reverse total shoulder replacement, which my partner, Dr. Chatrath, spoke about on here a while back. But
yeah. Wow, that sounds pretty extensive. So instead of letting it get that far, you know, do the conservative treatment with the exercises, you would say that would help even the arthritis part too?
Absolutely. Exercise helps everything.
Yeah.
Exercise is the fountain of youth.
Right. Always keep moving.
Keep moving. Keep exercising.
So you mentioned that the rotator cuff, it's four muscles. And are these small accessory, you call them maybe accessory muscles, meaning that it's harder to activate?
Well, you know, they're not really accessory muscles. They can be quite substantial. The subscapularis being the strongest is in the front. But what they do is they balance the head of your humerus own the glenoid, which is the socket.
Mm.
And it's, you kind of have to imagine it like a seal balancing a ball on its nose. The hip is a ball all the way in a socket. Mm-hmm. It's captured. The hip is not going to dislocate because it's way in a socket. The shoulder is very different. It has a very shallow, small socket and a ball that can move around on it. So these four muscles are basically balancing the ball on the glenoid.
Yeah.
So if those muscles get weak or out of shape, or there's an imbalance in the muscles where one overpowers the other, that's when the shoulder starts to wander and rub against other bones. You start to get arthritis. You start to get shoulder instability, rotator cuff, and labrum tears. So it all comes down to exercise, stretching, and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And when things start to get weak, which can happen as we get older, that's when the joints start to break down.
Mm-hmm. And so would this be a case where a physical therapist would come into play and show how that, or you also show exercises as well?
We give them a sheet with exercises on it and discuss it with them. And some people, they'll get on the internet and they'll find exercises and they'll figure out what to do and they'll get after it. But those few people are few and far between. You know, I refer tons of people to physical therapists. And the physical therapists are the heroes out there. They're like having a coach, you know, so I can just kind of, hey, go see the therapist. And the therapist will take them by the hand, see them, evaluate them, and then work them through the whole process. And usually they get well. And if they don't, they kind of, okay, send them back to me. Okay, Dr. Mays, we gave it our best shot. This one's not going to work. So that's when we start doing MRIs and looking for surgeries that could potentially help.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, if you're just tuning in, we've got Dr. John Mays here from Willis-Knighton Bossier Orthopedics. And we're talking about shoulder pain and rotator cuff tear and repair. If you have a question for us, give us a call at 318-219-4569. Well, since we've talked about surgery, we've talked about, you know, exercises to do, what is the recovery like with rotator cuff surgery?
Well, the surgery is a small piece of it. You know, really the recovery after surgery is just as important. You know, I tell people before surgery, I go, we're a team. I've got to do my part, which is I've got to do this. I've got to decide what surgery to do, and I've got to do the right surgery, and I got to do it well. But you're also on the team because after surgery, your part is just as important because you have to exercise it. You have to do what we've discussed. You have to go to physical therapy, and it's going to be a hard job. So the people that go to therapy after surgery and really get after it with the stretching and exercise program. Now, as far as how quickly after surgery you can begin that, it varies. If someone has a massive rotator cuff that is very difficult to repair, we're going to go very slowly with their recovery, which means limiting some of the exercises. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a whole protocol with the physical therapist where they can, you know, sometimes if it's a little tear, we go let them get after it almost immediately. But if it's a large tear, we might go 6 weeks with very limited therapy before we really step it up.
Right. And so someone just had surgery and you're telling me they still need to do exercises after the surgery. They're just not fixed.
That's the big part of it.
Right.
You know, when we take the rotator cuff and fix it, basically you're taking a tendon and you're sewing it back to the bone that it tore away from. So that tendon has to grow into the bone, almost like the roots of a tree grow into the ground. So that's not going to happen overnight. So you do, the stabilization's pretty good, so you can start some gentle activity. But until that tendon has had a chance to regrow back to the bone, you're not going to go do chin-ups. So that's where the therapist really comes into play. And without the therapist, we couldn't do what we do.
So what about, let's say somebody had the repair, the surgery, how likely are they to tear it again?
Very, you know, it depends. I mean, I've said that a lot, but it really does. Small, medium-sized tears, the success rate's going to be over 90%. But when you get into an older person with a massive rotator cuff tear, somebody that you say, lift your arm, and they go, you know, I can't. Those people, the failure rate's going to be over 50%. That's why the reverse total shoulder was kind of developed, because there is such a high failure rate in massive cuff repairs.
Yeah.
But some people are like, I want to try. I know that it's only 50% success rate, but I don't want to do a shoulder replacement. And sometimes we'll give it the college try.
Mm-hmm.
But if that fails, then they're definitely looking at a reverse shoulder.
Right. And it sounds like the most important thing is prevention. You know,
yes.
We don't want to get to that point. And so it's important to take care of yourself.
It's important to exercise and be active. You know, like I told you earlier, people always come in and say, I use my shoulder too much, or I use my knee too much, or I walk too much, and I stood on a concrete floor too much. And I tell them, that's not the problem. The problem is you didn't do enough. You know, if you drive your car 100,000 miles, it wears out. If you run 100,000 miles, then you're in the Olympics. You know, so you need to exercise and be active and push yourself and challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you stay healthy.
Right.
Not by resting.
And challenge yourself in a way that is meets you where you're at, not, you know, doing nothing and then going and water skiing and then hurting yourself.
Baby steps.
Yes, baby steps.
Baby steps.
For
but
sure.
But if you start today, you could be in the Olympics, maybe senior Olympics.
Yeah. Not a bad goal to shoot for.
Exactly.
But we have Floyd on the line. Floyd, what is your question for Dr. Mays today?
Yes, Dr. Mays, good afternoon, first of all. How are you?
Hello, Floyd.
Great. Yes, Dr. Mays, I had a fall on this shoulder, and it's been like about, I want to say 2 months ago, and I went to my primary, and she recommended me to go to Willis Knighton to have some x-rays taken, and they tell me that it's just arthritis. But now, I wasn't having this pain, and I could use this left arm before I had to fall. So now that I've had to fall, I can barely raise the arm. I like I saw you on the television saying, when I forget a gallon of milk or half a gallon of milk out of the refrigerator, I got to extend it with the other arm. I got to use the other arm to lift it. And it's getting worse. It haven't gotten any better. So I just happened to see you on television this morning. I said, oh, this is what I need. I need to talk to this guy.
Mr. Floyd.
Maybe I can get some help for him. Yes, sir.
Mr. Floyd, this is like the third one of these I've done, and you're the best caller I've ever had. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm afraid you've probably been misdiagnosed. I think it's extremely unlikely that you have arthritis in your shoulder. I would guess...
Correct.
I would bet the ranch right now that you have injured your rotator cuff, and you definitely need to come see me if it's been 2 months. We can evaluate you. You know, like I said, unfortunately, the rotator cuff doesn't show up on an x-ray, so you can't tell what's going on. And like I said, arthritis, it would have been there before. You don't get arthritis suddenly from a fall. So you're a smart man, and you realize something's up, so you need to give me a call.
Yes, sir. I got your number here. That's why I just called. I've seen it on the screen.
I look forward to meeting you.
I think he took down the number to call in. Do you mind sharing Willis Knighton Mosier's number?
Yeah, my number is 318-212-7841. And that's Willis Knighton Mosier. And if you're in Shreveport, there are bridges across the river. You can get to Mosier. It's very easy. So I look forward to seeing you, Floyd.
Thank you for your question. Oh, we have another caller on the line. Tracy, what is your question?
Okay, well, in 2011, I was diagnosed with cervical stenosis after my legs had been, were getting weak back then. You know, I could barely walk back then in 2010 and 2011. Then I went to the surgeon last year, and he diagnosed spinal stenosis. What's the difference between cervical stenosis and spinal stenosis?
They're the same. Cervical is just a part of your spines. Spinal stenosis can be lumbar spinal stenosis. That would be your low back, and that would affect primarily your legs, cervical spinal stenosis would affect primarily your arms and hands. That's your neck. So cervical neck, thoracic mid part, and lumbar is the lower part of your spine.
Okay, oh, that's what spinal stenosis is, yeah.
Yes, spinal and cervical.
Yeah, because I went to the surgeon March of last year, Milan Modi, and mm-hmm. he diagnosed me spinal stenosis last year, a few months ago. Okay, so cervical stenosis is your,
that's your
upper
neck.
Neck.
Right.
And spinal stenosis is more further down your spine and your lower back.
Typically that would be your low back, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm one of those who've been, you know, suffering pain, you know. I had quite a few falls over the years. I had two nasty falls in 2022 and one nasty fall about a year ago, last year.
Well, you need to be careful. Falls can be very dangerous.
Always. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tracy, for your question. Well, I think that Floyd had brought up a good point about, you know, arthritis versus the rotator cuff. Is it pretty commonly misdiagnosed?
Shoulder arthritis is extremely rare. Yeah. You know, it's not much more rare than hip and knee arthritis. Typically doesn't cause as much problems. So, you know, there is a form of arthritis that results from a chronic long-term tear of the rotator cuff called rotator cuff arthropathy. That's probably the most common cause of shoulder arthritis. Somebody who's had a massive rotator cuff that's been untreated for years and years and years. But just to simply fall and then have shoulder arthritis, that's very unlikely.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad that he called in so that
yes.
he could, you know,
it's
get
a great
in touch
call.
With you. Yeah, yeah. So with the surgery, who is a good candidate for something like this?
Well, obviously somebody who is healthy enough to survive surgery, which is most people these days, and somebody who's failed conservative management and has had probably advanced, it's very rare. We really wouldn't do this type of surgery unless somebody's had an MRI mm-hmm. or a CT arthrogram first. So you had imaging, you failed conservative management, and you're healthy enough to undergo the surgery. The surgery itself is an outpatient surgery. It's not done at the hospital, it's done at an outpatient surgery center. Typically takes less than an hour. So most people come in the morning, get it done, and they're usually home by noon.
Wow.
In a little sling, and then they work with the physical therapist, and I see them back every week or two mm-hmm. until they get well.
That's awesome, that's incredible. They're home by noon, and you know, how long, let's say earlier you mentioned, you know, if the, it was you know, a minor tear or small tear, how long will it take before they're fully functioning again?
For a small tear, I would say 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. And then for someone that has a pretty extensive tear?
That can be 6 months to a year.
Wow.
It can
okay.
be a long time.
Yeah, so that really reiterates that it's important that
yes.
to come
small.
To you sooner.
Catch them small.
Right.
before they get too bad.
Instead of getting to the point where you can't, like you did earlier, you can't
right,
get to
you know,
that
but
point.
That's where the controversy comes into play, you know, because a lot of people have a rotator cuff tear and don't even know it, and they do everything they want to do.
Right.
So you have to, we have to identify the ones that, yeah, they might be small, but they're causing problems and they're getting progressively worse. We have to separate those from the ones that are just sitting there, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it takes a little getting to know somebody.
Yeah, and getting to know yourself too.
Exactly.
You know, maybe do, like, especially at night, see, like, as is the certain position that I'm laying in causing
right.
pain? Or
like I said, I have impingement right now. So if I take my arm and I internally rotate it, I can feel it right there. But it's mild pain. I'm doing an exercise and stretching program for it. It's going to eventually get well. I hope.
You might not have to worry about it.
I know. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's good. Good advice there, as always.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mays. I learned a lot about shoulders, shoulder pain, rotator cuff. You know, it was like an anatomy lesson, taking me back to anatomy class, which I love. So thanks again for your time. And give us real quick that number again to call.
212-7841.
Okay. And that's
Willis Knight and Bossier.
Yep. Willis Knight and Bossier Orthopedics, if you want to see Dr. Mays to help you with that shoulder pain. Well, again, another awesome Healthline 3, and that's a wrap for your Healthline today. And we hope you have a wonderful and happy and healthy day.